The first thing I want to say to you is thank you, because you support the cooperative program. You support Bruton Parker College. And every time you give, as you did this morning, a portion of that goes to the ministries of the state, as well as international and home missions. So thank you so much. We really are your college. We work for you. We're here for the churches. That's what we're all about. These are great days at Bruton Parker College. We're just so thankful for God's blessings. For the last 3 years, over the last 3 years, we've had almost 25% increase in on-campus enrollment, even more than that overall. We've been able to see $4 million worth of renovations done without any additional borrowing. We're very excited about that. But the most important thing that we're excited about is what God's doing in the lives of our students. This generation, I mean, everything is on the line, and they're facing a tough time. And we're wanting to raise up a generation that's going to go out and stand strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 3 years, in our student body, we've had 180 decisions for Christ, half of them professions of faith. You know, not everybody that has a church membership is saved. You notice that? And one of the things, we don't try to make people think they're unsaved, but we've had people that come that literally, I mean, they may have had some, you know, connection with the church, but then they find out what it really means to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We're having people called into ministry. So many exciting things are going on at Bruton Parker College. We are grateful to serve the churches. And so thank you for letting me have the opportunity to be present today. I want to ask you, if you would, to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Easy to find, the very last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. Two passages there in the book of Revelation. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And then, if you would, you'll want to, in just a moment, turn with me to the very last book of the, or last chapter in the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And here's what God's Word proclaims.
Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, look with me over in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And let's look at verse 18. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you will, Lord, send your Holy Spirit just to speak to us in this moment, in this time, that you'll be honored and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A little six-year-old boy, as six-year-old boys are, just couldn't help checking out something really interesting in a vacant lot next door. He saw this smoldering pile of rubbish. You see, they were clearing the lot for some construction. Now, he knew that his mother didn't want him to go over there, but he just couldn't resist it. So he went over there, and he's got closer and closer to this smoldering pile of rubbish. As he got right up on the edge, he noticed a little New Testament. And it was right on the edge. Now, he, at six, didn't have some real sophisticated understanding of the theological implications of God's Word in every dimension, but he'd been to Sunday school, he'd been to Bible school, and he just didn't think that was what you were supposed to do with God's Word. So he got up there, and right on the edge again, that smoldering pile of rubbish, he grabbed that little New Testament, saw that some of it was a little bit charred, and he ran back home to Mama there and said, Mama, look what someone's done with God's Word, the Bible. And she was busy preparing a meal and just kind of looked over and didn't smile, didn't think much about it. Little did she realize, or that little boy, how much God's Word would impact his life. And I want to ask you the question today. What impact does God's Word have on you? You see, that's what Bruton Parker stands for, the Word of God. Every professor, everyone who works with students in any way, adheres to the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, which says that it is the inerrant Word of God, period. There's no uncertain sound coming out of Bruton Parker College or any of our three colleges that you support. But the question is, how do we respond? Well, in Revelation chapter 1, we see that there is a wonderful blessing when, what the Scripture says, we hear the Word of God, read the Word of God, and heed the Word of God. And then in Revelation 22, it says what? if we add to or take away, what is there? There's a curse. You see, there's two ways. There's the way of life, there's the way of death. And how you respond to the precious word of God depends on your life's destination, will determine your life's destination. So I want us to think today about how we respond to the word of God and the wonderful blessing that can be ours. As we read this passage, we have to kind of transform ourselves or think of ourselves being brought back into the biblical time. And when he says in verse 3, blessed is he who reads and hears, it's a little different than we might think. When we say blessed is the one who reads, what do we think about? We think about pulling out our Bible and maybe, you know, sitting in our chair in the evening and reading the Bible. Is that what he was talking about? Did they have full copies of God's word at this time? Well, actually, that would not have been possible because Revelation is the very book, and it was the last one to be brought into the New Testament canon. They, as you know, had scrolls, and these would be brought. There was at the printing press. And so there would be people that would come with Paul's letters and the Holy Scripture, and they would read them before the church. He's saying, blessed is the one who reads or proclaims. And then when he says here, well, what does he mean there? He's talking about you this morning. When I read God's word, you heard. Or receive it. And then, most importantly, heed. So let's kind of go from the then to the now and kind of take it in our context. And let's go through these. First of all, blessed is the one who hears the word of God or receives it. Just like that congregation did when that person stood up and proclaimed God's word. I want to ask a question. Are we hearing God's word today in America? Now, we have plenty of Bibles. That's not the problem. In fact, a recent survey, even with the secularization of America, 88% of homes in America have a Bible. In fact, there's enough Bibles for every home in America to have at least four copies. I would venture to guess that many of you probably have more than four copies. We probably have at our house two dozen. All kinds of, you know, versions and everything to help us to understand God's word more. But the question is, are we really hearing, are we really receiving the word of God? When we begin to explore the knowledge that people have of the Bible today, it's pretty shocking. In the last 30 years, the percentage of people who read the Bible on a regular basis in America has declined by half. Does that surprise you? But that's where we are today. And so there is profound biblical ignorance. I was reading one survey that had been taken about Americans' biblical knowledge. Listen to some of these things. Over half of Americans, when asked, thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. A significant percentage thought that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And a significant percentage thought that Billy Graham had preached the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, you know, I think that just kind of gives you an idea of where Americans are at. Now, I was a pastor for 32 years and been an interim for another period of time as well. So, you know, I'm well versed in, you know, what the situation is. And thank God, I know you're in a Bible-believing church and you have Bible knowledge. But can I tell you, you probably have some members, if you're like most churches, are on the fringe that probably don't read God's word very much. When I went to a church, I would try until the churches got so large that I couldn't do this alone. I would, my first couple of years, take the deacons with me and try to visit every home, every church member's home. Well, you know how that goes. There's some that you don't know where they are. You don't know who they are. You couldn't find them if you want to, and the FBI couldn't find them if they wanted to. In fact, FBI is probably trying to find some of them, but anyway. But we all have those members on our rolls. But I would try, and you'd always call ahead of time to try to set it up. That's a good idea. I mean, that's the only polite thing to do. Well, I could tell that they were, some of these kind of fringe members in particular, were waiting on the preacher. House clean, of course, everybody wants to do that. But I can't tell how many times I would come in there, and on the coffee table would be those big giant Bibles. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, the older I get, I think big giant Bibles are really good. How about some of you? Okay. Big giant Bibles, big giant print, that's good. But I mean, these Bibles, huge. I mean, you could work out with these Bibles, okay? If you had a intruder at night, I mean, you could use it as a weapon. You know what I'm talking about? This is a big Bible. But you get the impression when you look at it, it's never really been even opened or used. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to have a copy of God's Word, but we don't want to use it as a religious icon. It is to be received. Blessed is the one who hears. Think about that day. They were waiting on the Word of God to be read to them, and they received it and were taught the Word of God. But there's profound biblical ignorance today. And it kind of reminds me of a story I heard one time about this young man who felt called to preach. And he just couldn't wait till he would get a church that he could preach at. So far and wide, he distributed his resume and told everybody he wanted to become a pastor. Finally, a small little church way out in the country called him for the interview. Now, they call those, you know, the pulpit committee. And I've met with a lot of those. Let me tell you, that's always an interesting experience. Some of the greatest people I've ever met, some of the strangest people I've ever met. But we won't go there. I'm just telling you. And I'm sure you had a wonderful committee. But I know you did. Got a great pastor. But anyway, so he goes out for the interview, and they ask him all these questions and everything. Kind of wraps up toward the end, and they asked him, they said, "Well, now we want to ask you something really important. What is your most very favorite Bible passage?" And he said, "Oh, that's easy. My favorite Bible passage is about Noah, Abraham's son, and how God called him to build this big ark, and how he was to then load all the children of Israel on this ark. And then he was to cross the Red Sea. But while he was crossing the Red Sea, a great storm came up, and the ark was tossed to and fro, and Joshua, Noah's son, was tossed overboard. But God prepared a great fish and swallowed Joshua, and then spewed him out onto the shore. But when he got there, behold, there was the giant Goliath. And Joshua was fast, ran around the giant 7 times, and the giant got dizzy and fell over. And Joshua came from behind him, got his sword, and cut his head off." He said, "That's my favorite passage story in the Bible." Well, the interview kind of concluded fairly quickly after that. They dismissed the young man. They began to discuss about his candidacy. And the oldest member piped up and said, "Well, he is young, but he sure knows his Bible." Now, I'm really pleased that y'all caught on pretty quickly. But do you know I could do that little routine in many places today and they would have no idea that it wasn't biblical? I'm serious. We even have students come to our school that are like that, who are church members, but they never hear a real sermon. They never really get connected. And many Americans will hear, "Well, let's see, Noah, Ark, Giant." That's about it. Folks, do we really treasure God's Word? You know, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also." Hey, I don't know a lot about this area. I grew up in Atlanta, up in Cobb County. I know this is a growing area, has been for a long time. I may be off here, but one thing I don't think ever has happened here, I don't believe they've ever had gold discovered in Fayette County. Am I right about that? Some of you been around? I don't think so. Okay. Some places in Georgia, but not here. Well, let's suppose that gold was discovered in Fayette County. You know what would happen? I'm telling you, backed up 85, as far as you could see, there'd be flatbed trucks coming with backhoes, right? You'd go to the local Home Depot or hardware store, you couldn't get a shovel, you couldn't get a pick. I'm telling you, Pastor Josh and the deacons would even be digging on the church grounds, wouldn't they? I mean, you wouldn't step anywhere, wouldn't be a hole. Now, praise God, they'd make sure the church got it, and if they found it at their home, they'd tithe, wouldn't they? Praise God, you know what I'm saying? But they'd be out there digging too, all of you would. Why? Because it's gold. But can I tell you this, church, this word is more precious than gold. And we need to value it. And we need to mine it and dig. For its treasures are immense. And can never be fully received, even with a lifetime of study. Every time, and my wife and I, wave, my wonderful wife, she's right there. She is just an awesome support. And such a blessing to me in so many ways. And through the years, we've made a habit of reading the Bible through many, many, many times. But every time we do, we discover something new. Amen? It's treasure is immense. Blessed is the one who hears, receives the Word of God. It has everything to do with your life. You may think right now that the primary driver in your life is this or that, but I'm telling you, the primary driver in your life is how you receive the precious Word of God, its promises, its directions, its message, its Savior. Blessed is the one who hears. But then it says, and we're kind of getting from the then to the now, again, remember, a little different order than the text so that we can understand how it was today. Blessed is the one who reads. What does that mean? The one who proclaims. The one who boldly stood up in front of the congregation and read the precious Word of God. You say, what's so bold about that? Context. This is written during a time of persecution. Now, Revelation is a very interesting book. It's a fascinating book. Some of you are probably great scholars in Revelation, probably far more you know than I could ever even know. You've studied it. It's a wonderful book to study. We ought to study the end times, amen? But you know what? If you don't understand that this is not just a word to try to figure out things about the end time, but rather about now time, then you miss the whole point of the book. He's talking to Christians who are under persecution, and it's during the time of Domitian. And this is how it would often happen. The officials would come to a town, and they would gather everybody right there in the middle of the town, and they would say this, here's an altar. If you offer an offering to Caesar and say, Kyrios Caesar, everything's fine. Have a nice day. But that's not what many of them did that were Christians. They didn't say, Kyrios Caesar. They walked up to the altar and said, Kyrios Christos, Christ is Lord. And they died by the thousands. And so when you read there in the book of Revelation about the martyrs and all of that, that's what the context is. Now, think about that. In that context, aren't you glad for the freedoms we have? Aren't you glad for a country where we can be free? Aren't you glad those who paid the price for us to have the freedom? And even to this moment are guarding our freedom. Let's not take it for granted. But in that day and time, they had to make a stand, a bold stand. A few years ago, I had a mission trip that probably affected me more than any other one I've ever been. It was to China. The purpose of the trip was that we would be training house pastors. You see, in China, they have the official registered church, but most Christians are in the illegal church, the house churches. And the reason is the government controls the registered church. They tell you who the pastor is, and they tightly control a lot of things. I remember when I went there, I asked them, why are you not in the registered church, but rather in the illegal church? And they said, because we want to be in the true church. If you follow the persecution in China, it kind of comes and goes, and there'll be times, it's always there, but sometimes more intense. And right before I went was an outbreak of persecution. And the house church that I was to work with actually got raided. Now, in China, let me explain how the persecution works. Beijing can send out an order for a crackdown. And one of the regions not long ago, they literally moved every cross off every church, off every building. These things come sometimes just out of the blue. But generally, the persecution, when it comes, it can come in several ways, at several levels. They can throw you in jail. In fact, two of the pastors in our region had been thrown in jail right before I came. Or they can do this. You go home after your church service and all your worldly possessions are out on the street, because in China, actually, there's no such thing as private property. It all belongs to the government. Or you can show up to work on Monday and they'll say, excuse me, I don't believe we know you. Who are you? You've lost your job. Or sometimes there's just a warning. It can depend. And it really depends often on the local officials. In this case, the pastor of this house church that I was working with, and then we had others that we were networking with, because he was very well thought of by the local officials, got a call the night before. And this was the call. Tomorrow, you will be rated. Now, I didn't know this at the time. I didn't find this out until after I got there. The night before, he got that call, so he felt obligated to call every single member. The house churches usually are not more than 40 because of the limitations of space. He called all 40 of his members. Guess what? The next day, all 40 showed up. Every single one. Now, in their case, they got off with a warning. They had to abandon their location, which they had a long-term lease. They lost a lot of funds, but at least they were still intact and they went somewhere else. But I don't remember a mission trip ever affecting me as much as that one did. You know why? Because I thought about the church in America. If it's raining, we don't show up. If it's sunshine, it's too pretty, we don't show up. If somebody doesn't speak to us in the hall and hurts our feelings, we don't show up. God, help us in America. It's time that we show up, stand up, speak up as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who not just hear and receive, but blessed is the one who boldly proclaims. Now let's get real here a moment. For some of you, thank God we don't have the situation in China that's in China. At least for now, we better watch it. It could be. But many of you are persecuted. They don't want you to say anything about your faith. They don't want you to stand for what's right. And you have to make a stand, don't you? I see it all the time. Thank God for you. Let me tell you something. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. The one who will take that stand. Blessed is the one who hears, who receives, who treasures the word of God, but blessed is the one who does more, but goes and boldly proclaims and makes a stand for the word of God. I thank you for these. I'm so thankful for these young people. And this is my heart today. Do you know what kind of world they have? Adults, I'm just telling you, most of us don't have a clue. What they face on social media, what they're up against, being ostracized. We need to pray for them. Aren't you glad they're here today? Would you affirm them by saying amen? This generation, I tell you what, I get excited about them because they're talented and they're committed. That's what we're trying to do at Bruton Parker. And somebody says, well, you know, you're few in comparison to the big universities and things like that. Well, that may be true, but if I read my Bible, that 12 turned the world upside down, amen? And I think 300 of Gideon's men sent hundreds of thousands to fly. Let me tell you something. We're training up a generation. We may not have huge, huge numbers, but if we can get these young people on fire, God will use them. Pray for them. Well, last, blessed is the one, not just who hears, not just the one who proclaims, but he's very pointed here. Blessed is the one who heeds, or you could translate it, follows. In other words, the test is, does the Word of God really make a difference in my life? Southern Baptist, if you've been following the news, it's been pretty embarrassing lately. I'm talking about moral failure. I'm not talking about political stuff. I'm talking about moral failure. It's been several. I just saw that a professor that I know very well at one of our prominent places in the convention, just heartbroken to hear a moral failure. So we see it, don't we? At every level. And that's nothing new. I mean, Satan's always, he's always out, isn't he, to see who he can victimize. If anyone thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall, Paul said. We better be careful. We better put on the full armor of God. We better realize that we go off to war every day, and guess what? The only weapon we have is the sword of the Word of God. So you better be equipped. You better be ready. Blessed is one who heeds. In other words, it really makes a difference. I want to challenge you this morning, because of the Word of God and your adherence to it, are you a better husband? Are you a better wife? Are you a better parent? Are you a better worker? Are you a better neighbor? Are you a better church member? Lifeway did a study about the lifestyle of people who regularly read the Bible, who were serious students of it, and this won't surprise you. Listen, they found that people that were serious about the study of God's word were more regular in worship, in small groups. They were more generous. They were mission-minded, willing to serve, and less cantankerous in church business meetings. I just made the last one up. But anyway, I believe that too. All the others were facts. But that's just, you know, I mean, really, I think you can tell the difference of someone that's immersed in the Word of God. James said, don't you just be hearers of the Word, be doers of the Word. Amen? I mean, are you living it? Read God's Word every day, but let it speak to you. I remember, speaking of pastor search committees, one asked me one time, do you believe that the Bible is in error? Do you believe the Bible has error? Boy, I love when they ask that question. And I said, I kind of had just a little bit of fun with it, I got to tell you, but not in a bad way. And I said, well, actually, that's not the right question. I know right there. Liberal alert, this guy's going to pull one, you know. I enjoyed that second, just for a second. I said, absolutely, I do. But I said, really, that's not the question. Absolutely, I do believe it's in there. But that's not the question. Well, what is the question? The question is, I don't come to the Bible looking for error in it. I come to the Bible to find the error in me. This is God's word. Show me my error. Show me my sin. Show me my shortcomings. This is the mirror to my soul. Convict me of my sin and show me your grace. The message of the Word of God is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, repenting of their sins, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ma'am, sir, young person today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the precious message of the Word of God. It's not known what happened or what became of those who carelessly tossed aside a New Testament on that smoldering pile of rubbish. But you might have guessed. You see, I was that little six-year-old boy. Now, what might surprise you, that's it, right there. You see, I've kept it all these years. You see, the written word led me to the incarnate word, Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the Word, to show us our need for a Savior and the wonderful gospel story of the good news. What has the Word of God meant to me? I shudder to think where I would be without it. For it wasn't but a couple years or so later that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior in VBS. Everybody could probably tell I had the makings of a future preacher because I sang the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's a book for me, louder than everybody else. Preacher's voice already. And grew up, kept from temptation and the scars of that wayward trail, not because I was better than anybody else, but because of the grace of God and the Word in me. It led me to my wonderful wife that confirmed in me the calling to do ministry. And all my life, it's been the Word of God that I've turned to. When I lost precious family members, the Word of God comforted me. When I didn't know what to do, I found what to do. When I was discouraged, it lifted me up. The Word of God. Well, what does the Word of God mean to you? I want to ask you a question today. Has the written Word of God led you to the incarnate Word of God? You see, in John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And who is the Word? Jesus. All things were made by Him. He is the incarnate Word. Ma'am, sir, young person, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And may I give another challenge? I believe next Sunday is Father's Day, isn't it? And I know your pastor will be bringing a great message, challenge, as well as encouragement. Men, we're to be the spiritual leaders of the home. I'm wondering today, would you take up the challenge of being the spiritual leader of your home and saying that I will lead my home by the Word of God? I will lead my family to study the Word of God. Blessed is he who hears, proclaims, and follows the Word of God. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for the precious, precious Word of God. It is the great determinant of how our life will go, how we respond. It is the way of life and not the way of death. The way of salvation, not the way of an eternal hell and destruction. The way of blessing, not the way of cursing. The way of wisdom, not the way of foolishness. The way of comfort, not the way of despair. The precious, precious Word of God. And that, Father, you sent your Son, Jesus, who is the Word, the perfect Word that came, and the glorious message we have. It is our prayer today that not one person leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. That not one person would leave here today not responding to your word, whether it be to serve you and to follow you by becoming a member here, or just coming at the altar as we did earlier and claiming one of the precious promises of God. Father, we ask now that you'll move in this time of invitation for your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand? This is our invitation. Our pastors are down here ready to receive you. You come. You come as we say.